This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Drops back, throws a ball to the end zone. The pass is caught, and that is a Denver touchdown. Troy Franklin with the catch at the goal line, and he had Eric Stokes on his back.
Boone scoots into the end zone on a 5-yard touchdown run to give the Bears their first points of the day.
Marshall, big crease, first down and more. Justin Marshall, they try to chase to the 10. He zooms in. Big play, touchdown, Colorado State.
Second down, 7. Into the corner they go. It's caught. It's touchdown for Marty Miller.
Zarka himself. Zarka is in. And a hallelujah from the Air Force crowd.
This one was ugly. No doubt about that. But again, it's hard to win in this league, and the Broncos continue to find ways to do it.
They did. They found a way to do it. Mike, I thought this would be a blowout. However, this was the negative part of my brain yesterday said, here's what I fear. In the first quarter, it's a sloppy game. The first possession for the Broncos, they go 3-and-out. The Raiders score a touchdown. The Broncos go 3-and-out. It is 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. And I thought, oh, what if it's like 3-0? And then you fool around in the second quarter, and you finally get that touchdown late in the half, which is exactly what happened. That's what I feared would happen. And so it's 7-7 at halftime, and the Broncos got a field goal in the second half. But they're 8-2. I've been saying this all year about Air Force. Air Force is the best worst team in football. Are the Broncos the worst best team in football right now?
It totally feels that way. It kind of feels like maybe we'll win another Super Bowl, like we did 10 years ago.
In 2015, at this stage, this time of year, early November,
the offense was so bad.
Nobody was talking about the Broncos winning a Super Bowl, correct? You were like, okay, great defense, okay offense, whatever, Brock Osweiler, because Manning was out. And so you weren't talking Super Bowl. I don't think anybody mentioned Super Bowl until you get they got the first round bye. Remember, they were the number one seed. Peyton Manning enters in the second half of that. It was at the time San Diego Chargers. And they win the game. Still bad. Offense was still bad. And then they get the first round bye. They win in the playoffs. Offense never figured it out. Peyton Manning's brain was fine, audibling at the line of scrimmage and such, but there were never games, especially in the playoffs, where you walked away and said, oh, the offense finally figured it out. So this whole idea of the Broncos better figure it out offensively or they're not going to go very far in the playoffs. I saw Stephen A. Smith going off this morning saying the Broncos will lose in the first round if they continue to do this. And I guess my pushback is they did it in 2015. Not everything has to get fixed. You can win a championship with this defense.
And, of course, there are times where defenses have a bad day. So to protect your defense who might have a bad day, you have to have a good offense. Maybe we feel like the Broncos are the worst 8-2 team because you want an exciting offense. And right now the offense is boring.
It's boring. It's not fun. It was really windy at times. Like, it was gust. There was a lot of big gusts, and I do wonder if on that punt where he shanked it off of his leg, I do wonder if the wind kind of caused that. There was some weird situations in the game where the wind seemed to be a factor. I'm not excusing bad offense because this is what we've seen all year. But it did seem like it was a little extra bad because of the weather.
Yeah, and he did start punting better in the second half. But if you noticed, like, right at the beginning of the game, the ball started rolling.
Yeah.
The referee had to, you know, blow the clock dead, put the ball back to where it was, so that the Broncos could snap it. That's how weird the wind was
in the
first half.
It was weird. So there is a part of my brain that wants to go to, okay, sloppy game, trap game, Thursday night football, game again ahead of your big game with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's windy. I don't want to do that, but those are real things. There's a reason we say, uh-oh, is this a trap game? If that wasn't a real thing, we wouldn't say it. So was that a trap game, or is this offense just not very good? I still think I look at the rest of the schedule. I still think this team's going to win like 11 or 12 games, and maybe get the first round bye. They're the best team in football right now, according to their record. Eastside Chris, this is an interesting one. Brady, he's texting in on the first advance text line. Brady, could Russell Wilson be 8-2 with this team? Yeah, probably. I mean, is Bo Nix outplaying what Russell Wilson did during his time with the Broncos? Is he? He's not taking a lot of negative plays, but he's not. He threw two interceptions yesterday, and it feels like he should have thrown a few more.
One of them was definitely his fault.
Yeah.
One of them was like, I think I can.
Here's my question on Bo, and you tell me from what you're watching, Mike. Was the pass rush, because they didn't blitz a lot, was the pass rush that good against the Broncos offensive line? Because it seemed like every time they were in shotgun, Bo snapped the ball and immediately took off and ran backwards to try to create something. And then he ended up having to throw it off his back foot or just throw it out of bounds. Is he not patient enough, or is he seeing something from a defensive line where he's like, I have to get out of here quickly? Because that's what I noticed. And again, we only get to see what the camera angles show us. It just didn't seem like that was a crazy pass rush. I know Crosby gets in there and he scares people, and there was certainly some of that going on. But it just initially it seems like Bo Nix is looking to escape rather than sit in the pocket. He's jittery back there, man. And that's really what I picked up with Bo Nix's game. That was one of his worst games.
It felt like to me that he was that the Raiders, he was afraid of the Raiders. It was like the Raiders' reputation preceded them, and they didn't play like the reputation that Bo had in his mind. Like they weren't that great. They really didn't get that many pressures.
And they weren't blitzing a whole lot. It was just shaky every time Bo would snap the ball. Eastside Chris, maybe Sean needs to self-check himself, becoming more and more disgruntled with his Red Lobster menu decisions. Defense has carried his butt. VJ should be the coach of the year. Big Hub, why can't Dobbins ever score? Well, he did get 18 carries last night. R.J. Harvey got 4. I still don't understand that. I still don't get it. You ran Dobbins better a little bit. He had 15 against Houston. I don't know. I don't know why he can't score. I would have liked it because he was on my fantasy team. Who is this, Mike? Colahoma? Who is this? Is this a new texter? Good nickname? First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Is it possible the Broncos were very vanilla last night to not show much for Kansas City, or is it late enough in the season that wouldn't make a difference? If this offense was humming before that game, then I might go there with you. But these problems, this is what we saw in the Houston game. This is what we saw early in the season, against Tennessee. It's what we saw against the Eagles. It's what we saw for the most part against the Giants. Only this time, the Broncos didn't turn it on against the Raiders. The Raiders is just really bad. You can play a terrible football game and still win, and that's a great sign. You know, good teams find ways to win even when it's bad, and I go back to 2015. That was not a special team until it was. That was not a special team. Defensively, special. So is this defense. So I'm not freaking out. I said on Monday if the Broncos win in an ugly game, I should have gone with my gut, Mike, because I had this feeling on Monday. I was already telling myself, I'm not going to freak out if they win ugly. I was telling myself that at the start of the week, and then as the week progressed, I got pumped up. I was like, oh, this offense is going to figure it out. It's going to be 30-3. It's going to be a major blowout, and the Broncos will prove to the nation that they're legitimate. They're a legitimate 8-2. So I should have prepared myself for this, I suppose. Yes, Michael.
Well, I'm going to pull out the Homer voice here and be like, well, actually, so he's playing 70 chess, and he hasn't been really opening the playbook at all the entire season. He's just waiting for the Chiefs game.
No, I don't believe that. Because
I don't believe it either.
The Chargers game was just as important in Week 3. You know, you needed to win that division game.
Like you should be trying for every game. Like you shouldn't have a closed playbook.
Well, you remember
your playbook for each team.
Right. There used to be a time where it seemed like Mike Shanahan during his last few years would pull out all the stops to beat the Raiders, but then the rest of the season was just kind of weird. I don't think Sean Payton necessarily is like, "Oh, we got to hold back so we can beat the Chiefs. We really want to beat the Chiefs." I think Sean Payton wants to win the Super Bowl. So I do think it's too late in the season. It's not a bad text. It's just food for thought. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, you got the win. You know, I'm not going to do it. You never apologize for wins in this league. It's hard to win and all this stuff. But you won. It's better to be 8-2 than 7-3 today with a long week. With a long weekend and a long week leading up to the Kansas City Chiefs game. So it's good. I'm taking it. The bad is the Broncos offense. I mean, Bo Nix was 16 of 28, 150 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. His QBR was 27. J.K. Dobbins, they only ran for 84 yards. So they threw for 136 and they ran for 84 yards. It was not good. The ugly, and I don't know if it's ugly. But if I were to say, you know what would fix the Colorado Rockies? Hiring somebody that's not in baseball and hiring somebody that's with one of the most poorly ran organizations in football. And that is who they hired. Paul DePodesta. We're going to call him Money Paul. He was, Jonah Hill played him in the Moneyball movie. He was Peter Brand, essentially. I was always told that Peter Brand was a mixture of a bunch of different analytical guys at that time, but everything we're reading today was, yeah, that was him directly playing Paul DePodesta. Now, he was a part of the Oakland A's run when they were starting to get better from 99 to 2003. He then got hired to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was the general manager with them in 2004. He was one of the youngest GMs in baseball history at the time. They had their first playoff win with him since winning the 1988 World Series, and that was in 2004. But he didn't last long. He was fired following the 2005 season after they went 71-91. So he was fired after he wasn't there very long with the Dodgers. And then he was with San Diego. Then he went to New York, to the New York Mets, and then he went to the NFL to be their chief strategy officer, beginning on January 5th, 2016. Well, the strategy for the Browns has been pretty bad, hasn't it? Hey, let's draft Baker Mayfield. Oh, let's not give him any weapons or anything and not give him much time. Let's get rid of... I know that wasn't 2016, but I'm just thinking in that time that he was with them. And he had to be a part of the Deshaun Watson situation, too. So, forgive me if I'm not like, oh, yeah. But this does seem like a Rockies move, doesn't it? Like, let's hire a guy that's in a bad football organization. What? You mean baseball? No. He left baseball in 2016 to go be in football, and he was on the worst organization in the NFL.
Remember how I said yesterday, you know, that I used to say that the Rockies are the Cleveland Browns of baseball?
Well, they are
now
officially.
They really are the Cleveland Browns of baseball. I guess they're listening to my sarcastic comments and
they were like,
really,
you know what,
leaning into it.
That actually sounds good. So he is the new head of baseball operations, and so we'll see who he hires as the next GM. But the big thing is he's analytics. He's like the father of analytics. And so Dick Montfort now finally leaning in on that, and you're bringing a guy in. I guess I'm just, my fear is that it's like, okay, he was the father of analytics. He was really good long ago. I think that was one of the articles in the Denver Post from Troy Rank, I think, or maybe it was Patrick Saunders, that he was really good long ago. Yeah, but not for that long. He wasn't really good for that long. He was a part of this new thing, this new craze in baseball. But I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, wow, no, they got an analytics guy. They're 10 years late. The Rockies are 10 years late. They're just now catching up. Everybody has a Paul D. Podesta. Everybody has that guy now. That's what they want. They want an analytical guy. So it just seems like a Rockies move. I don't know. He might be okay. But the optics of it are hilarious. They're the worst team. They're the laughingstock in all of baseball. And for their head of baseball operations, they go hire a guy that's not even in baseball, that's in football. And it just so happens to be the worst organization in the league. I would like to know more of like what he did as the chief strategy officer for the Browns. But what is that? Let's look up that position. We'll figure that out when we come back. 21 minutes after the hour. It is a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We got Benjamin Albright going to join us from Broncos Country tonight. I'm going to ask you, like, are we freaking out? Are we living on borrowed time with this Broncos team at 8-2? Is the bottom going to fall out at some point? We'll talk about it. Stick with us. It's the whole show on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man game. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
All right, I know it's Football Friday, but Money Paul D. Podesta was a football guy. To be fair, he was the chief strategy officer for the Browns from 2016 to now. I mean, the Browns did get into the playoffs two of those years. 2023, where they lost a wild card playoff game at the Texans, and then they were in there in 2020, and they actually won against the Steelers in the wild card round. So, 2 years. Two out of 10. It's about what Dick Monfort's goals are, I believe, is to go to the playoffs two out of every 10 years. So, yeah, maybe it checks out.
I think that's the best the Browns have ever. What have they gone to the playoffs? Three times in the inception of They're not a good franchise.
Since the year 2000, they've been to the playoffs three times, and two of those times were under him. As again, chief strategy officer. And those, what their job is, simple Google. They focus on broad, long-term strategy, growth areas like international business and legalized sports betting. I don't think that's what he was dealing with. That's what you Google. But he's a guy that's looking at, he's evaluating coaches, he's evaluating scouts, he's evaluating players. Things like, is there a way to know how often receivers got open against a certain player and compare that to all the other starting corners in the league? Did this player show significant improvement during the season in an area of weakness in these evaluations? That was a story written on him in 2015 from ESPN, what he would bring to the table for the Cleveland Browns. I dug that one up this morning. They were very excited about him. I didn't even know what that position was until this hire.
Did he bring that to the table and they just ignored him, or was his research ineffective?
Yeah, I don't know. Smitty says Kelly McGregor. Yeah, Kelly McGregor, former football player. Yep, CSU. Held the same position that D. Podesta will hold. President of baseball operations is more of a leadership role than anything else. He's just like McGregor, will be hiring people below him. Rockies were best under. Yeah, no, I know he's going to be hiring guys. I get that. But where, what, like, he hasn't been in the game. He hasn't been in the game for a while. He's been in football. He's been plugged in to football. So is that not a concern? I think it is. 29 minutes after the hour, Benjamin Albright is going to join us next, host of Broncos Country Tonight. You're 8-2. Good job. We'll talk about it. Is Benjamin concerned that the bottom is going to fall out for the Denver Broncos? We'll talk about it next. 29 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. On this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse, the Broncos are 8-2. Benjamin Albright joining us now, host of Broncos Country Tonight. It sure doesn't feel like 8-2, my friend. That was interesting last night.
That it was. Interesting is probably the most charitable way to put that. I think we're at the point now where we're 8-2, and we have to ask ourselves a very tough question. Are we actually any good?
I mean, defensively, yeah, right? But offensively, that was as bad as it's been. It seems like they're taking steps backwards.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, or it doesn't look to be, getting better. And you look over the last 2 weeks, and there's something to be said for getting two wins, but at the same time, beating Davis Mills and the corpse of Geno Smith is not exactly inspiring heading down the late stretch here with two games against Kansas City, a game against the Chargers, a game against the Packers, a game against the suddenly good Jacksonville Jaguars. There's a lot of kind of eyebrow raised as you look at the back half of the schedule.
What are you seeing specifically last night? Is this Sean Payton, bad play calling? Is it Bo Nix? Is it the offensive side of the roster just isn't good? What are you seeing?
Well, the short answer there is just yes to all of that.
Yeah.
The reality is it's a combination of things. It's not just one thing. It's a compound problem. You're getting way too many penalties, and that's on coaching. If you're getting that many penalties, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. You look at the quarterback, and the quarterback has been largely ineffective for large portions of the game. Well, the problem with that is we keep calling plays that require the quarterback to make throws that he's not making. So who does that fall back on again? Falls back on the coaching. We have a running attack that's working, and we abandon that for large stretches of time. Again, who is that on? Well, that'd be the play caller. So you see, there's a unified theme going here, and that's without getting into whatever that cutesy nonsense was we dialed up on 3rd and 1 that lost yardage and caused us to miss a field goal. But that's what Sean Payton does. It's like it's 3rd and 1. We need 1 yard. Let's just put the back that's averaging 6 a carry in there. And Sean Payton's like, no. Razzle dazzle. What are we doing? We're dialing up
Cortland
Sutton pass plays, Garrett Bowles receiving plays. Like, what are we doing in short yardage situations?
Yeah, well, and while you were talking about Bo Nix and putting him in bad positions, I think back to John Fox with this Broncos team when they have to make a transition midseason from Kyle Orton to Tim Tebow, completely different guys. And it worked somewhat. They were winning weird ways, and it was kind of clunky and strange, and the offense wasn't great. But somehow they altered an offense to fit a guy that really can't throw. So I guess I look at that with Sean Payton. And Bo Nix is not Tim Tebow. There's got to be ways to design your schemes, your plays, whatever, to fit him better. And for whatever reason, we're just not getting there.
Yeah, and this seems to be, football is very complex, but at the same time, it's hilariously simple. And that you look at what is working, and we're like, why don't we do more of that? We run the ball effectively. Why don't we run more? We play with tempo in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden the offense starts clicking. Why don't we play with tempo? We throw up the seams, and we throw the intermediate routes in the fourth quarter. We don't do that. We're screens and deep shots for 3 quarters before we get there. This isn't new to Bo Nix. This is the same offense and the same problems they had when Sean Payton and Russell Wilson were together, where we couldn't do anything for 3 quarters, and then Russ would pull something out of his backside in the fourth. So, my my frustration lies with Sean Payton, who is a good coach, but like you mentioned John Fox, I put him on that tier of coaches. Mm-hmm. He's a good coach, but maybe not a great coach. And so that's sort of where we are. Sean Payton has raised the baseline of the Denver Broncos, but I think we've sort of gotten to the point where he's spiraling with his hand-picked quarterback that isn't cut out to do what he wants to do. And so here we are, hilariously at 8-2 for some reason, when we could just as easily be, 3-7.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it feels. On Bo Nix, what did you see last night? I mean, he was running around a lot. It didn't seem like the Raiders had an overwhelming pass rush, but every time you look down, as soon as Bo snaps the ball, those feet are moving. He's taking off. What did you see specifically there in Bo's game last night?
Well, part of that was Quinn, feeling under the weather and all that. And he got replaced by Calvin Throckmorton. So you got two guards that, are backup guards. One's a converted tackle. And again, you've got Max Crosby on the other side there. That's always a thing. I think the Raiders' defensive line's a little bit underrated. Some of those guys are actually decent players, and it's the Raiders, so we tend to make jokes, but they've got a few decent players on the defensive side there. They're not great defense, but they're underrated. And so I think that's part of it. Bo mechanically has become a shell of himself. You look at it, the footwork is off. He's throwing off platform. He's dropping the arm socket and slinging stuff sideways. And, we see these dirt darts he's throwing out there. It's fascinating because the mechanical regression is interesting. It's kind of the anti Josh Allen. You watch the Josh Allen thing. He started off horrible, got better. And people used to say, well, he throws the ball like he's punishing the air. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, well, Bo's throwing the ball like he's mad at the ground. So what did it ever do to him?
Well, and that, like, do you, is that fixable? How do you feel about the franchise quarterback discussion surrounding Bo Nix? Is what you're talking about fixable?
Well, yeah. I mean, theoretically, yes. The key is to get muscle memory back to doing the right things, which takes a lot of repetition, a lot of practice, and putting your guy in situation to remember that he's supposed to do that until it becomes instinct, right? So you got to find a way to kind of slow that down. You watch Bo at the beginning of games, and he comes in with the engine, on full bore. We see how almost nervous he looks at the beginning of games with some of these inaccurate throws and throwing the ball high. And so you've got to find a way to settle that down. Well, what better way to settle that down than have him just back there handing the ball off? Get that nervous energy of being out there by not having to do the things that are required of it.
What is it going to take for RJ Harvey to actually get, a half a dozen carries in a football game?
The genius realizing that running backs can run the ball.
Yeah.
When you're playing 4D chess like Sean Payton is with everybody else, it's you that's the actual problem and not him not calling running plays.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins got 18 carries, but then when you look at it and go, well, the next up was, well, Bo had five, but R.J. Harvey with four carries, I don't understand it. I just don't get it.
Part of that is, though, that number, that 18 carries, that's a thing, but how many of those were from the salted away drive? The reality is they had, four carries in the first half, three of which came on the first three plays. Sean Payton just he'll run the ball at first and it's working, and then just completely forgets that part of the game exists. And it's like he's like, oh yeah, I've got Drew Brees back here. We're gonna throw this ball 60 times, and then you remember you don't have Drew Brees, who covered up all manner of sins in your offense for 15 years, and then all of a sudden you look at what this thing really is.
It reminds me of the Nuggets a few years ago. Aaron Gordon's on the bench, and Michael Malone didn't put him back into the game. They end up winning, but it was a close game. And Michael Malone told reporters, I just forgot about him. Like, you forget about your second best player on the team. Is that what's going on with Sean? He just gets so caught up, he just simply forgets to run? Or is he just like, no, I'm going to showcase my prized possession in Bo Nix?
Oh, I think it's a deliberate choice. I mean, you look at this, and I've mentioned some of the things already. The third and one play, what are you doing dialing up a pass play with your wide receiver throwing the ball? We go back to the last home game where we had the ball at the five. J.K. Dobbins gets it down to the two, and we throw a pass to Garrett Bowles. We have a boot play. We throw it out the end zone, and then some weird screen play to Cortland Sutton. You were on the 2-yard line. Just run the ball in. You don't have to have passing touchdowns. They count the same number of points if the running back runs it in.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating about this whole deal. Meanwhile, on the defensive side, six sacks. The Raiders They made the Raiders look awful, and the Raiders aren't fantastic. I get it, but this defense, it does remind me a lot of that 2015 year, because the offense was what it was. You know, Peyton Manning was out, and you had Brock Osweiler. Although I think the offense was better then, there's a lot of similarities to what we saw in that Super Bowl run. Although at this time in that year, we weren't really talking about the Broncos winning a Super Bowl.
Well, you go back and look at the numbers from that year, and they're staggeringly similar. I think the defense this year has actually allowed fewer points than that defense had at this point. Now, they generated more turnovers, the defense had scored more touchdowns, and the offense had turned the ball over significantly more. But, there's a lot of similarities, with that season. The ball just happens to be bouncing your way or whatever, you know. And I think the popular catch line is that what they're doing isn't sustainable, and it isn't sustainable. But at the same time, if it just keeps happening, it just keeps happening. Like, what are you going to do? So, I think every Broncos fan out there would take 8-2. I don't think anybody's lamenting the fact that we're 8-2. I think we're all just eyeballing this thing and looking at it and saying, okay, we are 8-2, but the minute that we're stopped playing Jake Browning and Davis Webb and Geno Smith and Justin Fields and, you know, Jackson Darten, what is second start, full start, Cam Ward, the minute we stop playing those guys and we start playing the Patrick Mahomes, the Justin Herberts, those kind of guys, are we going to be able to pull these kinds of things off? And I think the answer looks like it's a no.
8-2, so how do you see the rest of the season playing out? Do you think at some point we're going to see the bottom just fall out, and even a great defense, they can't overcome these issues on the offensive side?
You know, I don't know. Last year we saw the defense start leaking oil down the stretch.
Yeah.
Part of that was injury. Just couldn't sustain it anymore. I don't know that that's the case. I hope it's not the case. But you look down the stretch at the games that you've got left, and you figure, okay, we got another game against the Raiders. We should win that, although it's in Vegas, and we barely just beat them. We got two games against Kansas City. Those are probably losses. You got a game against the Chargers. We haven't beaten them in the Sean Payton era. The Packers over there look like a Super Bowl contender, except for inexplicably when they play the Carolina Panthers last weekend. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a team that's winning a lot of football games. I mean, there's a scenario here where you win one more game down the stretch.
Wow.
So, you know, this is I don't want to do the sky is falling stuff, but if we're being realistic here, they could do everything from win one more game the rest of the season to win them all. We still don't know. We're 8-2. Are we any good?
And that's a great point. That's how I feel. I mean, even with the win last night, you're like, okay, what's next? Because I could see it both ways. I could see this defense just continuing to hold teams under whatever 17 points. You find a way to score 20. I could see, you know, the bottom falling out. You just mentioned, you know, when you start going up against these teams with better quarterbacks, well, that awaits you now. You've got a handful of these teams with franchise quarterbacks that are pretty good.
Yeah. And we may catch a break against the Commanders. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, they're going to kind of eyeball this thing and may have him back by that game. So we'll see. But, you may catch a break with that one as well. But most of these quarterbacks that are coming up are a little bit better than the ones we had in the first half. And, you know, this team, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where I think at this point you've won enough games, you're going to make the playoffs, and then you're going to lose in the opening round again. And as Sean Payton continues to be the George Carl of the NFL, you know, the greatest regular season, and then get bounced in the playoffs coach that there is.
Well, I hope we're all wrong, because I'm with you. I agree with you on all fronts. I'm very concerned about what's going to happen offensively. Very concerned just about Sean Payton's strategy overall, and I guess we'll see what that looks like coming up next Sunday when they take on the Chiefs. Benjamin, great stuff from you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely, take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, the voice of Bronco, host of Broncos Country tonight, 46 minutes after the hour. What did Sean Payton have to say about last night's win? We'll get to that. Also, J.K. Dobbins, he says he feels you. He feels you, Broncos Country. He's there. We'll talk about it next.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Sean, again, you know, as you've said, your record says who you are.
Exactly right.
But Are you going to say but?
What?
No. What's your question?
Are you comfortable with the script of just kind of how these games continue to be won?
As coaches, but there's no buts. So you're asking, am I comfortable as a coach? We're never satisfied. If my answer were to you, I'm comfortable. That'd be silly, right? So obviously we gotta clean up the penalties. We gotta clean up some of the execution, and that is an ongoing thing that probably never ends. There's, you know, you search for that Shangri-La. Right now, you know, we're a team sitting at 8 wins. I think we're the only team sitting there. So, and yet we're constantly looking internally. You're starting, you know, but it was a tough night offensively, obviously, you know, and I give them credit. You know, they did some things differently that we hadn't seen, and you know, you start looking at your call sheet with your sub plan, and so we'll look at that tape and we'll learn from it. We always will.
I mean, the rest of the response rounded out to be pretty good, but he's very, like, he sounded offended right off the bat. That was Luca Evans of the Denver Post, the same guy that asked him about special teams last week, and Sean kind of lit into him on that.
What do you think he was typing?
I don't know who was typing, but they were motoring. They were moving. That was loud. Please move
Sean
the typewriter.
Payton was not very nice to me, and I'm going to write an email.
Right off the bat, he's like, you guys are 8-2, and then Sean interrupts, no but. You were going to say but. What's your question? Like, I mean, come on. Yes. Sean gets after it, man. You gotta appreciate the spice, the sassiness that he has, saying, you know, you were going to say but. Before Luca even finishes his questioning, Sean's already determining that he's gonna throw in a but. There is a but. Mike, there is a but. You're 8-2, but your offense is not very good. Your special teams is not very good. So there is a but. There's always a but.
Maybe he could have phrased it, you're 8-2 and your offense is not very good. So
there's
would
no and.
Not be a but.
There's no and. No. He said, Chris, I think Sean is a social media listener. Do you think he's hearing some of the vibe, worst 8-2 team, or does he care? He was in media for a moment, you know. I do think he cares. I think a lot of guys care a lot more than they let on. I do think Sean Payton reads the stuff. I think he maybe even listens to the stuff. I imagine he already builds a case. I'm sure in his mind, the build up to the Raiders game was, oh, we better see the offense going here. They better run away with this game. And when they have a close one like that, I would imagine already in his brain, he's thinking of, yeah, people are going to come after us and say we're not a good 8-2 team. So I thought it was, he's just so, he gets so offended quickly, very defensive, right off the bat before the question is even asked.
He's like Prime, only
kind of, yeah.
He's earned it more.
Yeah, he's not as flashy as Prime with a lot of his responses, but kind of, yeah, there's some similarities there. But there, guys, there is a but. Yeah, they're 8-2. It certainly feels like they, I mean, Mike, it does feel like they could lose these next few games. I mean, look, these are the quarterbacks that they've been going up against. The 3-6 Jake Browning led Bengals. The 2-7 Geno Smith led Raiders. They beat them by 6. The Davis Mills led Texans beat them by 3. The 1-7 Justin Fields led Jets beat them 13-11. The 2-7 Jackson Dart-led Giants beat them by the 1 point, took the miraculous fourth quarter. The 1-8 Cam Ward-led Titans, they won by a score. Defensively, yes, they're very good. What happens when they see Patrick Mahomes? I don't know that Jaden Daniels will be playing for the Commanders by the time they get them on late November. The Raiders, probably another win there. Jordan Love with the Packers. Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars. You got Patrick Mahomes again and then Justin Herbert to finish out the season. It's a better caliber of quarterback, a better caliber of offense coming up. So if you're a bit concerned about the future, even though you're 8-2, you're right to feel that way. But I mean, the offense is going to have to get it going. They're going to have to, because I do think defensively they're going to be good all year. But as Benjamin told us earlier, they were leaking oil in December last year, and that is 100% a fact. Their defense was getting worse as that month went on, ultimately leading into their big loss to the Bills in the playoffs. So offense has to. They have to, because it's nature. It's human nature. Perfection is not going to last in sports. It just doesn't. And this defense can't be perfect every single week, especially with the caliber of opponent coming up. All right, Mike, we got top stories of the day. No Ethan Bird this week because the Cowboys are off, thankfully. But we'll get top stories. We got more to come on Football Friday. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.